Hi, I'm Carol Sliwa, a senior writer with TechTarget Storage Sites. My guest today is Ashish Nadkarni. Ashish is a research director in the storage group at IDC in Framingham, Massachusetts. He'll be speaking with us about the latest trends in data storage tiering. Ashish, storage tiering is hardly new, but organizations now have more options for tiering their storage. What major advancements have you seen in the past year?
Some of the major advancements I've seen in the past year have to do with the fact that tiering is now no longer considered optional and is considered to be more of a feature that most people will buy, with the promise of cutting down your footprint, with the promise of getting the tiers like Flash and the slowest tier like Nearline SAS and such to coexist together. And the tiering software itself, we take FastVP from EMC as an example, have now gained sophisticated algorithms that will intelligently move data in and out of the performance tier into the colder tiers, if you will, automatically, and therefore reduce the manual resource burden on administrators that has been the case before with tiering. Vendors are also trying to sell tiering as a way to reduce the overall cost footprint of the solution. So if you needed certain IOPS from a storage array in the past without tiering, you would have had to buy a lot more drives and short stroke them. And now with tiering software that is intelligent, you can do the same thing with a lot less drives. You can also use the same software to manage tiering in mixed workloads, so you don't have to worry about the tiering software getting overwhelmed and such.
How popular is automated storage tiering at this point in time? And in what types of environments does it make the most sense?
It's getting popular. Some vendor told me recently that 60 to 70% of their mid-range solutions are all sold with automated tiering in place. So a lot more suppliers are shipping automated tiering enabled on their storage arrays and enabling it by default on their storage arrays when they get deployed in the environments. And the promise is that these tiering solutions can work in mixed workloads. If you have a combination of SQL databases and, you know, Exchange and virtual environments, typically the vendor will tell you that the tiering software should be left alone. And what that means is to let the tiering software sort of self-learn and figure out what data types to be placed on what tier and give you a certain percentage of the mix, meaning how much should be Flash and how much should be, you know, left on SAS and such. And then the tiering software automatically figures out the best way to move data in and out. Day by day, more and more workloads are becoming acceptable to be placed on these automated tiering software. Of course, there are exceptions. If 80% of your data is always hot, then, you know, there's no point in having it sit on a tiering solution where only 20% is Flash. However, in most cases, that's not the case. In most environments with structured, unstructured, and semi-structured data types and applications that use those data types, this should be fine.
Do most people use Flash with automated storage tiering these days? And how well does Flash work in those environments?
Most people do use Flash. In fact, Flash is what allows the tiering software to give you a blend of IOPS when you need them and a economical dollar per gigabyte when you don't need those IOPS. Flash is what allows you to give your storage array that performance on demand characteristics. And then when the performance is not needed, that data gets slowly funneled back to the slower tier. Without Flash, unfortunately, you wouldn't be able to get the most out of the tiering software.
Where do Flash cache and DRAM cache fit into an automated tiering strategy?
Think of it as tier zero. So if you have two or three tiers in your automated tiering setup, then Flash cache and DRAM cache is often considered to be tier zero, where you get the most amount of performance from that tier. And the next tier then could be MLC or EMLC, which has got a certain level of endurance to it and also a certain level of density to it. And then you would have your SAS drives and then your nearline SAS drives, which would be the slower and more persistent tiers. when you need the IOPS on demand, that's when this cache comes into play, and certain types of persistent reads then get pushed into this tier and then get serviced by that tier. So it's when you need IOPS the most, it gets serviced from the tier zero. When you don't need it, it gets pushed into a cheaper dollar per gigabyte.
Have you heard about any problems with automated storage tiering?
I have heard about problems with automated storage tiering in the context of the tiering solution not working for the application in question, or the tiering solution being more of a burden on the application. The best example I can give you is virtualized desktops. When you have VDI and when people switch on their computers, there is a burst of I/O. In the case of automated tiering, that solution may not get enough time to move all the data into cache before it gets serviced. What you have to keep in mind is that automated tiering solution is not the Swiss Army knife. It is not going to solve 100% of the problems that customers see in their environments. It is meant to solve most of the problems. And from that side, I believe automated tiering solutions do work. There's sort of a general purpose solution that can work in 80 to 90% of the environments that are traditionally either wasting a lot of storage because of IOPS requirements, or are putting too much emphasis on flash as a tier and not enough emphasis on the fact that in a particular data set, you might still have 20 to 30% of data that is active, and the remaining 70% that is not active, that doesn't always have to occupy precious space on a flash tier.
What advice would you offer to organizations on the latest developments you've seen in storage tiering?
There is always the inertia or the resistance to change status quo. And, you know, organizations have good reasons to do that because they've probably been burned by first or second revisions of tiering software solutions. But my advice would be not to hold back and to embrace the new versions of these new generations of these automated tiering solutions, almost in the same way that they've embraced other trends in the market. Those solutions are here to stay. Think of it in the overall economics of storage. The second piece of advice would be, think of the automated tiering solution or software as a part of the overall storage strategy. So you would look at storage optimization technologies like thin provisioning and compression and deduplication. Think of automated tiering almost in the same way. All of those things should be taken together when you're examining your storage strategy. And then the third piece of advice is, and this is more of a tactical operational thing, don't try to override the automated tiering solution. So I've talked with a lot of customers who started off with automated tiering, and somewhere along the way during the deployment phase, they realized that, oh, well, you know, we shouldn't let this database be serviced from a slower tier, and had the inclination to pin some of the data in the faster tier. And in fact, pinning the data, which is almost like overriding the automated solution, causes more performance problems than just letting the system learn from the I/O patterns and figure out the best way to service those I/Os.
Thanks, Ashish. That concludes today's podcast on the latest trends in storage tiering. We appreciate your listening.